We are blessed to see another day that God blessed us with. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. This morning, I'd like to look at Joshua chapter 23 and chapter 24. Joshua chapter 23 and chapter 24. We're drawing close to the end of the book of Joshua with this last two chapters. And in this last chapter, I would like to use as the subject of my message Joshua's farewell address. Okay. President George Washington, he served two terms when he was in office. He was requested to serve a third term, but he denied. And in his farewell address, his farewell address is thought of as one of the most significant documents in American history. In 1825, both Jefferson and Madison recommended the farewell address to the University of Virginia as one of the best guides possible to the ideals of American government. In his farewell address, presidential address, George Washington advised American citizens to view themselves as a cohesive unit, and interestingly enough, to avoid political parties, and issued a special warning to be wary of attachments and entanglements with other nations. He also added a reminder about the then 9-year-old Constitution. He said, "I shall carry it with me to my grave as a strong incitement to unceasing vows that heaven may continue to you the choicest tokens of its beneficence, that your union and brotherly affection may be perpetual, that the free Constitution, which is the work of your hands, may be sacredly maintained, that its administration in every department may be stamped with wisdom and virtue," he says. His farewell address is so significant that every year a member of the U.S. Senate is asked to read the farewell address in public. In chapter 23 of Joshua, Joshua gives his own farewell address that should be as equally as significant as George Washington's farewell address. Yeah. Joshua chapter 23, starting at the first verse, says, "Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies around about, that Joshua was old and advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age." Now, before I go any further, it's important to understand, after the 7 years of them doing all the battles, to finish all the battles, God gave them rest from having major battles in the city, in the nation. They still had smaller battles left to go, because there were still some Canaanites in the land. The point is that Joshua has been serving God a very long time. The very next chapter, in chapter 24, tells us that Joshua was 110 years old when he died. Now, you do the math, it's 40 years in the wilderness, 7 years leading them in battles, and the rest of the time, they were at rest. And so, if you think about it, if Joshua was the same age as Caleb when they went over the Jordan the first time, that means that Joshua has been serving God for 70 years. So he has been serving God a long time. And George Washington was simply ending his tenure as president, but Joshua's time in this world is coming to an end. So like Moses and Jacob before him, Joshua uses these last two chapters to give speeches at the end of his life that would hopefully serve as a guide for future generations to come, so that the people would continue to stay on the right track. In verse number 3, he says, "You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you." Now notice that Joshua didn't use this time to pat himself on the back. He didn't speak about all his accomplishments as their leaders. He didn't talk about all the things that he did that Moses didn't finish. He gave all the glory to God. And it can be easy at times for us to focus on ourselves, on all the hard work that we have put into accomplishing things. The blood, the sweat, the tears that it takes sometimes to accomplish something or make something happen. But even when you have bent over backwards to get things done, it's still important and necessary to remember that it was God who got you there in the first place.
Amen.
God is the one who makes it possible for us to do anything worthwhile. When Barbara and I got married 25 years ago, a lot of people said that you needed to have two incomes to make it. You just have to have two incomes to make it. And although Barbara has had a couple jobs throughout the years, health issues have prevented her from being able to work predominantly for most of the time that we've been married. And so it's been dependent upon my income to keep us going. And I could be like some people and get, stick out my chest. Oh, I've been holding it down. I've been taking care of us so well and keeping us going. But I know the truth. I know that if it was not for the Lord, we wouldn't have made it past the first year.
Amen.
Now, for 25 years, God has been keeping us going. And if I'm going to be honest, even before we ever got married, God was still taking care of us, making sure that we had what we needed to, so that we can get to this point. And so sometimes we keep on focusing on the efforts that we put into certain things, and we do so much. But, even through all the stuff that we dealt with last year, I can't help but to acknowledge the fact that it was God who has kept us going, even through the times when I couldn't do anything for us at all.
Amen.
Every good gift that you have comes from God. Amen. All the praiseworthy skills and abilities that you could ever boast about have their origin in God.
Amen.
And anybody that God brings your way that has a great deal of skill and ability, anybody that people will look up to and want to praise, anybody that has any real value, those skills and abilities were given to them by God. Now, yes, we can appreciate what they add to our lives, but God is the one that brought them to us in the first place.
Amen.
The nation of Israel had a great deliverer in Moses, and then God gave them Joshua. When somebody important to us leaves our lives, it can be devastating for us if we let it be. Sometimes we get to the point where we depend on people to be there for us, people that we love, people that we care about. Some people that we just admire and look up to. And sometimes when things happen where those people can no longer be in our lives for whatever reason, it can be a problem for some people. But besides that, it's important to realize and understand that God is more than able to make sure that we have everything and everybody that we need in our lives. And besides that, it's important that we don't elevate anybody to a certain point where too much, because even when we don't think it can happen, when we start depending on people, they can at times disappoint us. Mm-hmm. But God will never let us down.
Yeah.
So Joshua knows where all the credit belongs. He says in verse 4, "See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes. From the Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Now, notice he says that the Lord your God over and over and over again in this message. He wants to drive home the fact that it's been God who has been keeping them going all this time. So he's telling them that they've already taken care of the major battles. They still have the smaller battles left to go. And when you think about it, that same thing is true for all of us as children of God today. That God has taken care of the major work already for us. When Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he not only provided a way, a foundation for us to have salvation in Judgment Day, but he has also made a way for us to be able to conquer everything we need to conquer here in this world through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But the fact of the matter is, you still have to fight the smaller battles. You still have to resist the devil. You still have to bring your body into subjection. You still have to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus provided a way for you to become righteous. It's now your responsibility to stay that way. It's your responsibility to put your faith into practice. He says in verse 6, therefore be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Now, they have had peace in the land for what amounts to about 20 to 25 years. In the previous chapters, it doesn't seem like there's much of a transition time, but it starts off telling us here that there's been God has given a peace for a long time. And that long time, it comes to about 20-some years that he has given them peace after they've had to fought the major battles and moved into the land. So they've had peace all this time because they have been living according to his word. He says it in the very next verse that they have held fast to the Lord.
Yeah.
Not like their parents who came out of Egypt, who doubted God and who questioned him all the time and who were too afraid to come across the Jordan. They could have been the generation that experienced all the good, but they let their fears constantly get in the way of their serving God. So the real key to having peaceful, victorious living in this world is for us to keep God's word. He says in verse number 7, unless you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them or bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you, you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. He said, one man shall chase 1,000. One of the only ways that a relatively unknown group of people could come and basically take an entire area of land from several very strong nations was because God was with them. And the thing is, the only thing God wants from these people is for them to be separate from the world, and he wants to make sure that they are treating each other right. And so, he didn't have to do, he wants them to be separate. And that doesn't have anything to do with racial purity. It has everything to do with spiritual purity. The influence of the nations around them was supposed to be removed when the people were moved out of the land. And now they still have a remnant of the bad influence in the land. So one of the problems of there constantly being this ongoing influence in the world was that these people are showing them their bad habits, the things that they have been doing that's wrong. And God wanted them to start off on the right foot here in the nation. You know, when their parents, they still held on to all the stuff that was going on in Egypt. And that's why they built that golden calf and all the stuff that they had out there. But now, God wants them to start off on the right foot. But they themselves shot themselves in the foot by allowing these nations to still remain. And so, excuse me. We can see the same kind of problem with, say, for instance, the kings. One of the things in the law, it says the kings were not supposed to multiply on themselves horses and chariots, and also they weren't supposed to multiply wives. And you look at somebody like Solomon, who had over 1,000 different women in his household. It had nothing to do with the distraction of so many women. That's part of it. But at the same time, the problem was that all these people were leading him in different directions. You know, when he started getting all these women into his household, he began to be curious about all the things that they were doing in these different nations. And he started to get involved in all kinds of stuff that he had no business being involved in. Mm-hmm. And so it's not about specifically who you marry. It's about the kind of a mindset that God wants us to have. For them, it was the nations of the land that was the problem, that God had a problem with. For us, it's the ways of the world. God doesn't want us to adopt the habits of the people of this world. He wants us to be separate from them. Even if we don't have the things that we actively bow down to and worship, there are things that can still take on the same significance in our lives. Things that can become so important to our lives that they start to become the major focus of our lives. That's why he tells them in verse number 11, "Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God." It's easy just to say, obey God. It's easy just to say, try and do right. But he said, love the Lord your God.
Amen.
See, the thing is, when you really love somebody, when you truly love somebody, you care about what they think about you. When you love somebody, you do everything in your power to make them happy. When you love somebody, you pay careful attention not to do anything that will upset them, because you come to care about the things that are important to them. And as we already know, our sins upset God. Even in the Old Testament, we see that people grieved the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9 and 10, it says, "In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy and fought against them." Joshua said, love the Lord your God. One of the things that really helps us to continue to love God is to remember all the ways in which he has been with us and how he's continuing to work things out for us. But that's kind of what you do in a marriage, in any kind of real relationship. When you're friends with somebody, when you're in a marriage, when you're just associated with people, you keep in mind the good times, the things that you've been through. We talked this morning in Bible study about that. How, you know, when you are in a relationship, you have to stay in remembrance of how things were, the reason why you got with that person in the first place. And when you understand that about God, when you keep in memory what God has done for us and all that he continues to do for us, you cannot help but to love God. The enemy just wants us to focus on bad experiences of life, because he knows that if all you do is focus on the bad stuff, then eventually God becomes the scapegoat. You begin to blame him for everything. Oh, God is so good, he should be taking these problems out of my life. God is so good that the situations wouldn't be so stressful for me. Well, just because you have those things that you deal with does not mean that God is not good. And even in those times when we don't directly blame God, it can get to the point where we just simply stop focusing on him as much as we have previously. And he begins to have less and less significance in our lives. And then our desires begin to fill in the void. The things that we want start to become more and more important to us. That's why he said in verse number 12, "Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, that make marriages and make marriages with them, and go to them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord is giving you." That's what happens when number of things finds its way that we find ourselves getting involved with that we really shouldn't be involved with in the first place. We get so caught up in things that we should have left alone, and after a while, it begins to consume our lives. A person that gets drunk all the time, it tears their life apart. People that abuse drugs, eventually, it destroys their relationships and their careers. People that have a hard time committing to one relationship many times end up lonely or just stuck in it with some crazy ex that they just can't get rid of. And it really doesn't necessarily have to be associated with obviously negative things. Sometimes it's the very things that we think are good that can end up driving a wedge between us and God. He's speaking in association to marriages with non-believers. And with marriages, it can be difficult because you get swept up in passion. To you, in the moment, it feels like a good thing. Like, this is the right person for me. Oh, sure, maybe they don't serve the Lord, but they check off all the other boxes. And that's the way it is with many things. And we end up thinking, oh, this is a good thing for me. But after a while, the feelings have been deceptive. It's not a bad thing to feel good. But oftentimes when we start focusing so much on the benefits of something, then we stop paying attention to all of the things that it's doing negatively to us. We start out thinking that something is good for us, but when it gains too much significance, that thing or that person can start to drive a wedge between us and God. Joshua lets them know that his time is coming to an end. He says in verse number 14, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts, in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land he has given you." Over and over again, it has been proven that God keeps his word. They have seen it firsthand. And it can be seen by anybody who lives his word today. But Joshua lets them know that just as much as God is faithful in doing good things for you, he is just as faithful in making sure that those bad things can come upon you as well when you start serving other gods. And see, for us in this country, it's not always obvious that people are worshiping other gods. I mean, we know people of other religions and so forth, but even people who claim to be children of God oftentimes get so wrapped up in certain things that those things become gods to them. They become your idols. That's why it's important not to get too comfortable when you start getting blessed as well. You know, because we end up being like David. David, when he was being chased by Saul, he constantly had his mind on God, on doing what God wanted, making sure he doesn't overstep his bounds and so forth. But when he got up in that palace, he began to focus on something else. And before you know it, he ended up sleeping with somebody else's wife, and then actively making plans to kill that man so he can cover it up. And so God told him that, you know, tribulation would never leave his household because of it. You know, we end up letting the situations we're in dictate what's going on inside us sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that can be extremely dangerous when you get too comfortable with the way things are. You know, it's like when Jesus talked about the man who said, "I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones." He said, "Thou fool, you know, you're going to perish this night, and whose all this is going to be?" You know, we need to really focus on being the kind of people that God wants us to be on an ongoing basis. We can't get too comfortable and let this world deceive us. I mean, we're constantly, Scripture tells us to be you, not deceived. It's just as much possible for us to be deceived by somebody trying to deceive us, and it's possible for us to be deceived by our own means, by us deceiving ourselves, getting too comfortable thinking that we're okay when we're not. The Scripture tells us to let him who thinketh he stands be aware. In chapter 24, he gives a brief history of what they had been through. And down into verse number 40, I'm not going to go over all the things he talks about there, but in verse number 14, he tells them to serve God in sincerity and in truth. In verse 14, he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
Just like Moses, when he said, choose blessing or cursing, he's asking them to make up their mind. What is it really going to be? Are you going to serve God and be there for him, and he be there for you? Or are you going to go the way of the world? See, the beautiful thing is we actually get the opportunity to choose our path. We get to choose how our story ends. And the question is, what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose God's way and be blessed, or choose the way of the world because it seems convenient? Despite how they responded in verse number 16, when we read the book of Judges, we can see exactly how they actually ended up, what they actually chose. Like I said, it gets back to that whole concept of getting comfortable. You start having things blessed, having the situation be blessed. Like I said, they experienced 25 years with no tribulation. They had taken land from several large nations, and everything was good with them for a long time. But it's easy in those kind of situations to lose sight of what's really most important. And you can start getting caught up, especially when you've got the bad influence still living there in your land. Some of them were still having these people be subject to them, to be slaves, and yet those people were still being a constant thorn in your side. Or as he said, a thorn in your eye. It's important for us to be the kind of people to learn the lesson from Joshua's farewell address. He asked them to continue in obedience and serving God. He asked them to make sure that they are living according to his word, and to make sure that they love the Lord. Not just be somebody who praises him every so often, but truly love him. In the New Testament, we know it's not just a saying what you say. It's not what you do, what you show. You show God that you love him by living according to his word. It's more, let us be those kind of people who learn the lesson. Let us constantly keep ourselves in God's word so that we can learn from his farewell address and from Jesus' farewell address to his disciples. And we start learning that we need to live according to God's word so that we can have a blessed, peaceful life. This morning, whatever your needs are, God is able, more than able, to take care of those things. Let us together stand and sing the invitation.
Song!